Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one we worship this blessed day. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson. Jesus on the Sabbath with Pharisees, a man with dropsy teaching. We pray. Gracious Lord, you are here this day, this Sabbath. You are our Sabbath. We gather to hear your word, to soon eat and drink of you for strength and peace. Bless us now with ears that hear and hearts that receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You know the meaning to the third commandment. We should fear and love God that we may not what? Despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred, gladly hear and learn it. And in the gospel lesson today, it is a Sabbath, that's the text, a Sabbath, the day of worship back then. The Lord is teaching in so many ways to break the Sabbath. Break the Sabbath. Meaning, back then and today, we need to break all the bad attitudes and bad behaviors that we have towards the Sabbath. So my theme today is worship. We've gathered today around Christ. He's our Sabbath. And may we break the bad, sinful attitudes and actions that we have towards the time of worship, be it Sunday or Wednesday or whenever we worship around Jesus. There are four of them I want to talk about. First of all, when you come to God's house, you've come today. When you come on the Sabbath to be with Jesus, come in weakness, not to watch. Notice the great contrast of the Pharisees that are there and the man with dropsy, he's retaining fluid. Great contrast. We are told the Pharisees are there to watch. They're watching Jesus carefully. They want him to trip up. They want to criticize him. They want to be able to accuse him of something. The Pharisees do not confess any sins. They don't come with any problems like dropsy or anything else. They don't ask Jesus to do anything for them. They don't ask Jesus, teach us a word. You're a great teacher. Tell us something. Teach us. They don't pray. They're just there to watch. And I think today, if we're not careful, a lot of people come to worship to watch. Put in my time. Watch the pastor. Try to entertain me, pastor. Do something to thrill me a little bit. Watch other people. Who's here? Who's that? Who's that? How are they dressed? What are they doing? Watch, watch, watch. Do we ever confess sins? Do we participate in liturgy? Do we sing? Do we listen? Do we eat and drink or just sit and watch? This is not Neyland Stadium. Go watch Thursday night and sit on your hands and be bored. I don't care. Participate here. You're not here to watch. Worship God. And contrast is the man with dropsy. Now, how does he get there? In a Pharisee's house. He's unclean. He's got a physical problem. They probably see him as having done something immoral or evil, which caused the problem. How did he ever get there? And he is so bold to be right there in the presence of Jesus and to stand up before Jesus or be there before Jesus. This is the boldness of faith. The man knows he has a problem. He wants Jesus. He desires Jesus. He's hungry for Jesus. He knows Jesus can heal him. I don't care if I'm unclean. We're all unclean. He wants to be in the presence of Jesus because he has a problem. He's weak. He's retaining fluid. And he has a bigger problem than that. And so do we. We retain sin. We can't get rid of sin. We're bloated with sin. And so we come in weakness, confessing sins. Oh, Jesus, heal me. Forgive me. Strengthen me. This is worship. Don't come to spectate and watch. Come to confess. And notice the key thing that happens on this day is that Jesus heals this man. If the Pharisees would have confessed and had a problem, he probably would have healed them too. They had faith. Only one. And Jesus heals them on the spot. And this is worship. Christ heal to take away our Christ is here to take away our sin, to heal us of our woes, give us assurance, give us strength. This is why we come. Secondly, when you come, come in lowliness, not in showiness. Jesus goes on to tell the parable. Whether they want him to teach or not, he teaches. It's his day, after all. Every day is his day, and he teaches. Whether the Pharisees listen or not, we don't know, but some are listening. We listen. He tells the parable of when you're invited to a wedding feast. That reminds us that worship is a wedding feast. Christ is the bridegroom. We're the bride, and we're here to celebrate his love. It's not about laws, laws, laws. It's about the love of God for his bride, the church. We celebrate that love and receive that love. And he says, when you come to a wedding feast, don't take the highest place and then have to go back to a lower place and be humbled and shamed. Take the lower place that he invites you to come forward. Now, Jesus is not teaching literally about where to sit in church. Or else, Pat, you got to go to the back. And you guys got to go to the back. He's not teaching that, and you guys got to come up. He's talking about the attitude of the heart. He's talking about this right here. And to be humble. And even if you sit in front, which is wonderful, or in the back, which is wonderful, in the middle, which is wonderful, it's all wonderful to be in God's house. To know in here you're last. I'm a sinner. And I'm no better than anybody else. And I come for Jesus. And not come with pride and showiness. I'm here to show off at how righteous and holy and perfect I am. And my family's so wonderful. We never even sin. We're so good. I wish you were as good as we are. This is the Pharisees, showiness. Notice they're all fighting over the best seat to show their honor. The Pharisees love to wear their wonderful clothing and robes to show off, their phylacteries to show off. They love to pray in public to show off how wordy they could be. They love to show how smart they were, how pure they were. There was a class of Pharisees called the bruised and bleeding class of Pharisees. And this happened when they would walk along a street. If they saw immoral, evil people, they would look the other way. They wouldn't go to help and tell the good news, which Jesus gets to later. But they would look the other way and close their eyes and hit themselves against the wall. Excuse me. And they might bruise their eye, bruise their face, because they closed their eyes and looked the other way. And they were proud of that. Look at all the bruises I got today, because I was avoiding evil. Silliness. Showiness. Beware of that. It's wonderful to come in nice clothing, as I've said, but if you do it thinking you're better than somebody else, you're a hypocrite. God would rather have you come in rags with a pure heart than showiness of your clothing. You come and sing loud and participate, do that. Participate. Don't watch. But if you do that to show off to your neighbor and think you're better than your neighbor who doesn't do it, shame on you to judge. You're a hypocrite. You're here to show off how good you are? Be lowly, like the man with dropsy, and be humble, that God would call you up to his table and say, come and eat, you humble in heart, and receive my forgiveness and my grace. God lifts us up, calls us up in absolution. Your sins are forgiven. He lifts us up to the highest place, his very child. We're the children of God. Come on, you're my children. Come on up. But purely by his grace, lowliness. You know what the most common street in America is? Most commonly named street? Not First Street. Second Street. So I make a motion we change our name from First Lutheran to Second Lutheran. All in favor? Just kidding. We really should be called Last Lutheran. The first shall be last, not second. Last. And then we can change it to First Lutheran because the last become first, right? By the grace of God. So first is okay too. Be on 2nd Street. Maybe be on 3rd Street. God, others, and then you. Humble. May the Spirit work in us this broken and contrite heart of great humility. Better than when we confessed our sins, we said, Almighty God, forgive us. Not forgive those bad guys. Forgive us. I'm part of them. Have mercy on us. Forgive us. Us. Me included. Not them, because I'm not included. We're all included. We're all sinners. Thirdly, when you come and invite people, he talks about inviting now. And not just to your home, but to church, where he really wants people to come. When you come, don't just visit and talk with your clique of friends. But have compassion on all people and invite all people. And this is another problem in the church. It's good to have friends in the church. Wonderful. We want you to have many friends and be a family. But sometimes we just talk to the same people. Our little clique of friends and the newcomer that comes, or the new member, or maybe the other person that comes, we don't even say hi. And this is wrong. This is not the welcoming of God to people. Have friends, but ever have an eye for who's new. It really frustrates me, folks. We have a new family in the church maybe for 6 months or a year or 2 years, and some of you ask me, who is that? Have you ever thought of going up to them and saying, hello, welcome to our church? Great to have you here. What's your name? What do you do? Want to have lunch? You don't know who they are after 6 months or a year? Are we really looking for others? Jesus says when you invite people, don't invite all your friends. Now, he doesn't mean literally don't have friends and so forth. He's talking about compassion for the outsider. Invite the lame, the blind, the deaf. Because that's what we have been and still are in a way. We're all lame. We're all blind, but he's given us sight. We're all deaf, but he's opened our ears to the gospel. Invite the poor, because we've all been poor. We still are poor, but we're rich in Christ. So invite all those sinners. Invite them all. Bring them all. Have we ever literally done that? When invited the poor and the lame and the deaf and the outcast? The church is a place of love. And when we chase those people away, we are not Christian. We're not of Christ. We forgive and we love and we welcome that all would know Jesus. Start today. Look around. Invite. And then last of all, when we come, we don't just focus on the here and now, but we focus on heaven. Notice at the end of the text, Jesus points them to the resurrection, to heaven. It's the Sabbath. He's pointing to the ultimate Sabbath rest, heaven. He says, after you invite all the poor and lowly, they can't repay you. He says, God will repay you in the resurrection of the just. What a verse! God will repay us in the resurrection in heaven. God's going to repay me as if God owes me something? Think about it. This is grace upon grace. God doesn't owe me anything but hell. And yet God in grace, is he going to repay me in the resurrection in heaven? So God pays me double. God's already in Christ paid for my sins. That's the cross. He paid for all of my sins, all your sins. We are forgiven. The debt is paid. He already paid that purely out of mercy, purely out of grace. I'm so undeserving. He did that. And then when I get to heaven, he pays me even more with glory and resurrection. And I could never repay him anything except with some thanksgiving and praise God. And so he puts our thoughts on heaven and our true home and the angels and resurrection. And this helps us in the here and now. If you don't know where you're going and you don't know your real future, you struggle here and now. But we talk a lot about heaven. I want to preach more about it because when we know our future is glory, it shrinks our sufferings. It shrinks our sorrows. That they're still there and we deal with them, trials, but they're smaller. Because I'm a child of God. And I have glory forever and ever. And I will press on and make it through this. God is with me. I'll be patient. So we speak of heaven. You know, final thing, listening to my radio, of course, it's all about football. And they asked fans to call in on your confidence of beating Florida this year. 1 to 10, what is your confidence level of beating Florida? They only beat Tennessee like 11 straight years. And you know what the number was on average? 6. Kind of confident, but not real confident. Are we going to beat Florida? A few people had a 10. And a few people had a 1. 6 was the average. It's just football. I don't care whether they win or lose. Doesn't mean anything anyway. And don't make that your idol this fall. Don't make that your idol. Your God is God. Come. What is your confidence level going to heaven? Is it a 6? 7? What is it? 10. Maybe you all say, who's a 10? It's a 10 because of Christ. It's a 10 because of the one in the gospel, there in the Pharisee's home, the one who's here, the one who lived, the one who died, the one who rose again, the one who ascended. It's because of him we're at 10. I have confidence in Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's already paid for my sins. He'll pay me in glory. What a God I have. Put your confidence in him and have glory and have peace this day. And that's the Sabbath. Gathering around Jesus. Do we need to change some attitudes and actions about worship? Come not to watch. Come in weakness to confess and receive. Come not to show off. Come in lowliness, a humble heart. Come not and simply visit with your clique of friends. Come and have compassion on it. Invite everybody. Compassion on everybody. And come not just thinking of the here and now, but thinking of heaven, our true home. Christ is here. Come. Amen. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We speak the